Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
That's a powerful reminder this morning, isn't it? That we can give our lives away, and only in God's economy can we give our lives away, and He gives us something that is stronger. That He gives us a vision and a hope and an empowerment to live His way and His plan. And He promises to walk with us. What a beautiful reminder. But let's pray together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love You so much. Thank You for allowing us just to be here. May we never take it for granted that we get to gather as Your church to lift up Your name, God. I pray that every single time, no matter what day, what time it is, that we walk into this place just expectant that You're going to speak, expectant, God, that You're going to bring hope, expectant that You are going to breathe life into us, God. I pray that You speak during this time. I pray that we decrease so that You may increase. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Can you give it up one more time for New Life? Thank you so much for coming and blessing us this morning. You see, I'm trying to come out the gate. I'm 2 weeks off, you know. It's just all right here, ready to come out. So I hope you're ready this morning. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. So we are in a series called Proverbs, Wisdom for Life. And so we've been studying Proverbs as a church. And also, if you didn't know, if you're joining us online, we are so glad you're here. My name is Daniel Cazenave, pastor here at the Bridge Church. And we are in the middle of a series where, we're studying Proverbs. But one thing I want to invite you into, if you're not a part of, is we're reading Proverbs outside of Sunday as well. And so today is the 11th. Tomorrow's the 12th. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 12. On the 13th, we're as a church reading Proverbs chapter 13. So we invite you into that. Also, if you want to be a part of a group, we have these summer texting groups where a couple people are paired up, or they're in groups of 3 to 7, and they're texting about what God has spoken to them, questions they may have, or whatever that may look like. So we invite you to that as well. You can sign up online in the Connect Center in the back. You can write your name and phone number there, and we split it up male and female for that way as well. So we invite you to just experience that little bit of community that we're doing here together as well. Just real quickly, this was up here last week, but did you notice this addition to right here? I love this. At our 2-year anniversary, Brad Childress, if you don't know, he's the welding teacher at May River, he and a couple of students made this for our church and presented it to us. So this is just really, really cool. And so we decided finally to add it to the stand, just to remind us that we want to be a bridge to the Low Country. We have all these areas here that we believe that God wants to bring and connect people to Him. And so it's just a powerful reminder. I love that of what God is doing. So, but this morning, we are going to be in a few different places. So normally, I usually pick a chapter. I'm going to move this over just a little bit. I usually pick a chapter in the Bible, and then we kind of just study down through it verse by verse. But this week is a little bit different because as I was studying, some pieces began to fall into place in the book of Proverbs, and these qualities began to raise to the surface. And as I saw those and started putting them together, I was like, wow, these are some incredible qualities for relationships. And not only that, as you'll read the verses that we're going to read in Proverbs, it is qualities for friendships, qualities for community. And community is so important and so vital. And if you remember maybe or think about our experience in your life before, we have different kinds of friends, right? There are different people that we have even different levels of friendships. And we have different levels in which we interact with other people, right? Also, we have different personalities, right? There are some, you have some friends that are like, they're your adventure friends. They're ready to go all in with you. You're like, let's drive to Florida for the weekend and, you know, last minute spontaneous. And they're like, woo, let's go. This is where it's at. Or you got friends that you tell them that and they start to sweat, right? They're like, I don't know. We need a checklist. We need a pack. What do I do? Where are we going to stay? All right. And they need to be able to plan that out. Just different kinds of friends. And as you get older, maybe you realize this or recognize that as you get older, is it not harder to keep those friends around, right? It gets harder, it seems like, to say, well, how do you mend this? And then different seasons of life bring different people around. And as we began to look at this, and I began to study and to look at, and especially men, as we get older, it seems that community begins to tailor off. And that community, which I understand, sometimes, man, we get kind of laser hyper-focused, and I know for me, sometimes I can even be kind of walled off, right? Like, nope, we're going to make it through. I'm going to shut down. Like, you don't need to peer inside a little bit. And so how can we fight against that mold? How can we experience friendships? How can we experience godly community? And you and I, we have the book of Proverbs that can help guide us. And I would even argue that the friendships and the people that we stick closest to will really determine the direction of our life. And I'm sure you've heard this, and most of the times it's spoken to younger people, but I believe it's for everyone, is the people that we keep closest to us will help guide and direct our life. In fact, Andy Stanley, if you've heard of him, he's a pastor in Atlanta, he says it this way. He says, your friends will determine the quality and the direction of your life. He goes so forward to say, the friends that we keep determine the quality and the direction of our life. And so if we're looking at this, you may be asking the question that I am. Well, if we have certain people that are around us, or maybe they're acquaintances, how do we move them closer? How do we grow in that relationship to where it's strong, to where it's healthy, to where it's biblical, and where I'm not fully dependent on them, they're not fully dependent on me, but we're walking this healthy road together? And to set this up, we're going to read Proverbs 13, verse 20, and then we're going to kind of skip around just a little bit. I apologize if you're kind of taking notes there, but if you just want to jot these verses down, you can look at them here in a little bit. But Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. This verse right here, I was in student ministry for about 7 years, and this was like our marching verse for kids right here. But I believe it's not spoken about enough when you graduate, and when you're a young adult, and then even when you're an older adult, and you start having family and friends, and then as you get to a new season of maybe retirement or empty nest, I believe that this is even powerful in that moment, because we can bring people around who will begin to determine the quality and the direction of our life. But this, I love this, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. But for a companion of fools suffers harm. If you've maybe heard me preach this before, I kind of call it the proximity principle. That when those we keep in close proximity to us begin to help pull us one way or the other. And it says, if you want to become wise, I love it because it states here that you're not already wise. Right? It's saying even if you're not to that point yet, even if you don't know everything yet, you can become more wise by getting closer to those who are wise. And I'm not just talking about like old sage wisdom, whatever it may look like. I'm talking about biblical wisdom. Because remember, in Proverbs chapter 1, it teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that we know that wisdom comes from God. And so is this godly wisdom. But then it gives us kind of a negative caveat here, right? It says, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know what stands out to me in this verse? It doesn't even say the fool suffers harm. It says the companion, the one who is close to the fool, is the one who will suffer harm. Like, that just stands out to me to go, wow, just those that we're close to, if they're making foolish decisions or if they're headed down a destructive route, like, then they can pull us into that suffering harm. And it's like, wow, relationships are that important. Proverbs is trying to teach us that who we keep in close proximity to us matters. If you're taking notes, who you spend your time with matters. And I want to add this, how you spend your time with others matters. Like, it matters who we spend our time with. It matters who we keep close to us, because as Proverbs in the Bible teaches us, that if we walk with the wise, we become more wise. But if we stick close to the fools, right, then we can suffer harm. And so if it's that important, if it's that big, and it shapes the quality and the direction of our life, if it has that much foundation, that much weight, then what do we do? How do we build those strong and healthy relationships? How do we keep moving forward? How do we grow closer to God, closer together? What does this look like? Well, I'm glad you asked, because today, that's what we're diving into. We have five qualities from the book of Proverbs, five qualities. And I want to encourage you to take notes. Maybe you want to take a picture on the screen, write them down in your phone, because these are qualities you can go back to and go, you know what, today, I'm going to kind of focus and pray on this one. And then maybe on Tuesday, on number two, I'm going to focus and pray on this one. Or maybe you want to pray and ask God on two different levels. One, God, help me to see these in friends that I want to keep close to. And then number two, God, help me to be this for someone else. Help me to live this out for the people that are around me so that other people can come and they can look to me as wise. They can look to me as this godly friend, this wise friend to walk with. And so these five qualities, and I began to think about, because there's different personalities, right? There's introverts, there's extroverts, there's people who can walk into the room and they're like, yeah, how's it going? Like, you know, they're just making friends easy. And then there's introverts, right, that may take a little bit harder. Matt's laughing at my music, but that I created. But like, as we're walking into these, right, and experiencing it, sometimes we need these promptings. Sometimes we need this, oh, that makes sense. We have so much going on, so much weight in life. It's great to sit back and go, well, what does God say? How do we grow in this? And so the first quality that I want us to get here comes from Proverbs 27, verse 9. Everybody still good? Yeah. Amen. If you're online, comment, like on there, whatever that may look like. Proverbs 27, verse 9, it says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice." I love that verse. It says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart and the pleasantness of a friend." This verse, it speaks to this joy that comes from having a friend who is close, and a friend that is close enough and knows you enough to give heartfelt advice. You can't give heartfelt advice without knowing somebody, right? Like, you have to know them. You have to know their personality. You have to know what will connect with them. You have to know what will speak to them to give somebody heartfelt advice. And so the first quality I want to give you here is discovery. The quality of discovery. And we see this even in Philippians chapter 2. This is pretty incredible. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." That we see this picture, that don't take not just my own interest, but take the interest of others above even myself. I have this longing, this discovery to get to know you. Tell me about you. Tell me what's going on in your life. Tell me your hobbies. What are your dreams? What are you fearful of? What's going on in your life? I had this discovery about yourself, this discovery about the people who are close to me. And I'm beginning to think about this. And if you've ever been to a place where a lot of people are mixing and mingling, or maybe even at church on a Sunday morning as you're talking to somebody, and the people that you walk away from, and it's the people that they can either kind of drain you, right? Or like this verse says, they bring this perfume, this sweetness, this joy of going, ooh, I feel refreshed because I was with them. I feel like they just energized. They walked with me in this. And it's the people, what I've noticed, is the people who care enough to lean in and go, hey, Daniel, so tell me what's going on in your life. Tell me what's going on with this. And that they care enough to give this heartfelt discovery of going, I want to know more about you. I want to know more about what's going on in your life. How? This is one of my favorite questions. It is so easy. It's almost like a cheat code, okay? Like, how can I pray for you? How can I? We've asked people this in the middle of the mall, and they will tell you their life story, right? Like, everything just comes pouring out because they're like, wow, you care enough about me that you're going to pray for me? You're going to go to the creative universe to pray for me? But this discovery, this opportunity to realize that. And I believe, one, we need people in our life who go, you know what? I care about you enough to where I'm going to take my agenda and set it to the side. You tell me about you. You tell me what's going on, right? Well, we need those people. Also, we need to be there for other people as well, where we walk into the room and it's not like, woo, here comes Daniel Cazeneuve, right? Like, everybody come talk to me. But it's more of, I walk into the room, like, okay, who can I interact with? Somebody here may need me. Somebody here may need interact. They need a prayer from me. They need a heartfelt advice from me. They need to know that, hey, I was just at home and I was praying for you. I was walking with you. This discovery of wanting to get to know those who are around me. That's the first one there. You ready for the second one? And the other one comes from Proverbs 27, still here in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. And it says this, "Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." I love this one. And I'm going to call this one, as it comes mainly out of verse 5, "Better is an open rebuke than hidden love." I'm going to call this transparent. A quality of somebody who we're close to is this transparency with them. And can I be honest with you? If we're talking about this, and I know I kind of talked about it earlier in the message, men, this is an area where it can be a little hard for us, right? To be, one, emotionally transparent, but just to be transparent of going, hey, this is what's going on in my life. And have you noticed this? This is something that I've never noticed before in this verse, but it says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Think about the term, hidden love. Somebody, you know, if somebody is actually close to you, but it's almost like this hidden love. So it's almost like this flattery, like, yeah, I'm here for you, what you need, right? And the only thing they say is like this surface level things. And it's like this hidden love or this hidden agenda or this hidden thing that's going on. And it's like, we're kind of close, but we're not really getting past into this transparency. We're not getting past this surface level kind of atmosphere, this surface level kind of level in relationship, but this transparency is able to help. And I realize this in relationships, that the difference between real and something that is fake is transparency. Because if you look at somebody in your life and look at the relationships that we have, if it's a fake relationship, there's hardly any transparency, right? It's almost like I'm trying to hide something. I'm trying to keep this from you. But somebody that's real, somebody that's authentic, especially as they grow closer to you, you're like, ooh, you may have said too much, right? Like it's just this transparency together. It's this, I trust you so much. I'm walking with you. I'm transparent, right? Like we're close. We're in this thing together. We're discovering this. And I believe that authenticity is the new currency for relationships. In 2021, we need relationships that are authentic, because we live in a social media world, right? Like, woo, at the beach, you know, like everything's perfect. Like you wait for the perfect picture, the right angle, and we live in this kind of society, right? But we need authenticity. We need that real, open, transparent relationships where we come not only for ourselves to go, we're close enough, we're good enough friends. Here's really what's going on, right? And also, we need to be that for somebody else. They need to know they can trust us with that information, that we're not just going to take it and have this hidden agenda, this hidden love, and go, oh, look, you need to pray for you know who, right? Like, you know, all of a sudden, prayer requests become gossip circles. But, like, we see this transparency where they trust us in that. And I love this example here, because Jesus does this with his disciples. If we look back to the Garden of Gethsemane, this was a moment in his life where maybe in all of Scripture, but we see this humanity of Jesus, where he comes before his Father and he is praying, God, take this cup from me if it is your will. But then he prays a beautiful prayer, not my will, God, but your will be done. But what did he do in that moment? He invited the disciples up, these three disciples that were close to him, Peter, John, and James, and he brought them into that. They saw a side of Jesus that not everybody saw. They saw this transparency of a perfect, the Son of God, praying. The Bible describes that he was sweating blood. He was in so much agony, but yet he allowed the disciples to come and to experience that with him. This transparency in him. I will even go as far to say that we grow as close as we are vulnerable. If we think about our lives and think about the people who we are closest to in our lives, it's the ones that we can be open and vulnerable with, right? Like those are the people you're like, you're my person. You're together with me. There's this transparency in it. Now I will kind of give you a disclaimer here, because I'm not saying let's go out into the world and just start telling everybody everything, right? Like these are people that we're bringing in. Jesus brought in, he had his 12, but then he had the three that he brought in even closer. You and I have this, but if you and I want to grow in those relationships with others. We want to get to that deeper level. This transparency comes about it, where you and I at some point have to step out and go, you know what? I trust you with this. Can you pray for me on this? Can we walk together in this? And it becomes this step of brotherhood, this step of sisterhood, of trusting each other in this. So that's the first one there is discovery. The second one is transparent. And the third one here is also from Proverbs 27, verse 17. Some of you may know this. I'm going to tie my shoe real quick. You guys bear with me. Shoe came untied. This is authenticity right here. Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I love this verse. It's kind of iconic on, especially in men's ministry, whatever that may look. But as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the other. The third one is we need people close to us. A quality is somebody who's willing to sharpen us. Somebody who's willing to take, just like the illustration that Proverbs gives us, as iron rubs, beats, and struggles against each other, what happens? It gets stronger. It gets sharper. It becomes this tool that can cut through all of these different things. And what as you take an axe, one thing, you know, of course, me and my kids, since I got three boys, we try to get outside. And right now they want to, like, practice. I took one of them throwing axes, you know. So, of course, now all of them, that's all they want to do. Let's go in the backyard. Let's throw one, right? But you get an axe, right? And every time you start to use it, it's the first time you hit it, every time you hit it, it's not getting sharper, right? It's getting more dull. And so if you keep using it, you never go back and you never get that axe sharpened. It's just going to get more dull. And you and I, we can be just like that dull axe, and we're just working away, right? We're just life, and I'm just trying to make it happen. I'm just working harder, and it feels like it's just like getting duller and duller. And it's like, I'm doing all of this work. Chips are flying everywhere. Like, things are happening and moving, but yet it's like I'm not really experiencing what I believe I can experience. But when you go back and take the time to sharpen that axe, and all of a sudden you take the whack for the first time, and it just penetrates into that tree, you see work really start to get happen quicker with less effort. All of a sudden, now we need relationships where you and I can go back and say, wow, you love me enough to sharpen me. I love you enough to sharpen you. And I love that because my life verse is Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth in love so that we can grow in every way more and more like Christ. And if I'm speaking the truth in love, I'm coming. We're having, if it needs to be a hard conversation, it can be a hard conversation. But we need the people in our lives who are willing to step in and going, hey, I noticed this about your life. I've noticed about this going on with you. And here, can I help you in this? Can I walk with you in this? And then, not only that, but we have to allow someone to sharpen us, right? And we have to be open to that wisdom, open to that redirect, or whatever that may look like. But it's this sharpening that begins to happen in our lives. And as we work together, and it takes iron, right? It takes another piece of iron. So it's not just one piece, right, that it becomes sharper, but you have to have the two. And we see this in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It says this, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Where two or more, not just one. He's saying, yeah, I want you to pray one-on-one. I want you to have that relationship with God. But something happens, something supernaturally, when you get that second, when you get that third, and you get together and you begin to pray according to the will of God, when you begin to live in this community, something supernatural begins to happen on top of that. And as we come together, as iron sharpens iron, it's pretty incredible. Now we're getting down here to number four. This may be my favorite. Are you ready for this one? We're going to be at four, ready to five. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. It says this, a friend loves at all times. How many? When? All times, right? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. This fourth quality is faithful. This quality of faithful friends who are there walking with us. These are friends, I wrote this down. Adversity doesn't scare the right friends, it only brings them closer. Adversity doesn't scare. Things start to happen, storms begin to come. And have you noticed there's certain people in our life that kind of tailor off when that happened, or I'll become real quiet, right? But then adversity comes. You find out who's close, right? You find out because the true friends, they begin to speak up. They begin to draw closer like this storm's coming. I'm here. We need to be closer. We're going to be walking together. And it's saying that a friend was, or a brother is born for a time of adversity. I love that. That when that adversity hit, it's like, yes, this is what this is for. This is why I'm here, to stick close to you, to walk with you. Also this, if you're taking notes, when we are faithful, we give the other person a taste of a faithful God. Because you and I serve a faithful God. That the Bible describes so much so, even when I am unfaithful, He is still faithful, right? Like, even when I mess up, He is still our rock. He is still our mighty fortress. He is still our strong tower. He is still walking with us. And I believe that you and I, we need community who say, you know what? I am here. Like, if adversity hits, we're going to walk together in this thing. We're going to be here. And adversity comes, we're only going to get closer. We're only going to walk together stronger. And we're going to see how God can move in the midst of that. And I would argue that you and I, we're hungry for that kind of relationship. I believe that we're hungry for that, and also that we need to be that for other people as well. When we see adversity spring up in their life, we stand up and say, hey, a brother was born for this moment. And we stick closer, and we have a beautiful picture of even the local church to say, well look, sometimes even the church, the local church, becomes that family where a family sticking close, but then the church can become even closer, right? And how Jesus and God can direct us into that community. And we see this beautiful picture of friendship and community and love begin to happen. And I love this incredible picture. And I'm going to give you the last verse here as we get ready to close here. But the fifth quality that I want to talk about may be the most important one. I said number four was my favorite, but this one may be the most important one. This is kind of the foundation, and so I left this one for number five because this is the one that I believe can be the domino that knocks down all the other ones. This is the one that kind of lays the foundation then to lift it up here. So the fifth quality, you guys ready? Ready. All right, I like this. Proverbs 18:24 says this. I'm going to give you a couple of different proverbs. It says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Isn't that good? That connects right from faithful. And then Proverbs 20:18 says this, "Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance." I love this. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. The last one I want to talk about here is that word seeking. And what I want to use is intentional. Intentional. That you and I, we have to be intentional. We have to have the mindset that says plans are established by waiting on advice, right? Or by sitting back and hoping for advice. No, it says seeking advice, being intentional, taking a precision, a step towards community, towards finding advice, being transparent enough to go, I need advice right now. I need this. And have you noticed life is busy, right? Like, it's usually not the predicament. We were just talking earlier about being bored. I was like, I haven't been bored since like the ninth grade, right? Like, the calendar doesn't need to be filled up, right? Like, it just tends to happen faster and faster and faster. So you and I have to be willing to step back and go, how can I be intentional? How can I be intentional to build these relationships, to seek out this godly wisdom, to seek out those who are around me, to be intentional enough to discover, be intentional enough to live transparent, to be intentional enough to be faithful to those who are around me, and to experience this that you and I love this because sometimes we look at this, and if we're thinking about military, so if you wage war, obtain guidance. And I hate to break it to all of us, but all of us are in the middle of a spiritual war. All of us are in the middle. We go out because we have an adversary, an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And then we have the other side where Jesus comes and says, I have come to give life and to give it more abundantly. You and I are walking into that every single day. And so you and I, we need advice from our brothers and sisters. We need guidance. We need to walk together in this intentional seeking out community to know what God has given us. And then when we walk in this, this is good right here. You ready? All right. Here we go. Dave's ready. Okay. Proverbs 24, verse 6, it says, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. Victory is won through many advisors. It's like God set this up to where he's saying, I want you to depend on me, but also I want you to walk in community. When you bring in these many advisors, you will see victory in that. And so I believe that you and I can stand on the promises of God. We can stand that you and I, when we walk in these qualities, not only for other people, but yet we invite and look for friendships and community like these right here, that we experience victory in our lives. And I'm talking about the supernatural, the spiritual victories that we are walking with, because we have those people who are walking with us. We have those brothers. We have those sisters. We have those ones who are walking with us. And this is what I want to close with. And we're going to sing a response song together. And I kind of thought about it, and I was like, you know how incredible all of these pieces and pictures are, because it's like, okay, I could take these five qualities, I can memorize them, I can put them on my wall. Well, I'm going to encourage you, take notes, maybe pray about what area does God want me to lean into. Is it transparency? Is it discovery? Is it that I need to be more faithful? Whatever it may be, it's like, what area are you calling me into, God? But I would say this, as we lean in, and it's kind of like a secret that's not really a secret. If we look at the life of Jesus, this is how he lived with those who are around him. Think about all the different scenarios that Jesus walks into. People, I'm talking about people who are far from God, notorious sinners. They wanted to be around Jesus, right? Why? Because of the discovery. He loved them, right? With no agenda. He was saying, I'm here for you. Like, I'm the son, I've come because I want you to experience life and experience abundantly. I'm here to show you that I love you. I'm here to show you grace. I'm here to show you mercy. And when you give your life to me, my Father gets the glory. And he's saying he walks in that. And you and I know that the closer we get to Jesus, the more these qualities begin to manifest out in our life. The more these qualities begin to change and to show in our life, the closer we can get to Jesus, the more we can get in his presence. I promise you, and as the Philippians 2 said, as we talked about, it says, have the same mindset as Christ. And as we become more like Christ, we see, oh, I want to know about my coworker. I want to know more about what's going on. I want to know what's going on with my neighbor. I want to know these things. How can I walk with them in this? And we see this begin to happen as Jesus lived this life with his closest people. And he was willing to be even transparent with them. He was willing to walk with them. And when adversity hit, right? What did his disciples learn as Peter hit adversity when Jesus was arrested and getting ready to go to the cross? Peter went the opposite way, right? Adversity hit and he was like, I don't know him, right? The girl's trying to ask. He was like, I don't know him. And he goes away. What does Jesus do? Shows back up on the beach. And he says, Peter, I love you. I just died on the cross, rose again. But I want to teach you something. When adversity hits, I'm right here. I'm right here, Peter. I'm walking with you. I want you to do the same. Because what does he do? He gives him this call. He says, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then do the same, Peter. With the people that are walking with him, then do the same. And I believe God wants that for your life. He wants it for my life. And I believe there's something special about the local church. You're not going to get me to be quiet about the local church, because I believe there's so much hope in it. It is God's plan A, is Jesus Christ, and that lived out through the local church. I love online church, and I believe it's an incredible tool, that there are going to be hundreds of people that hear this message that will never set foot in this church, but I still believe there's so much power in the physical, local body of church because of this right here. We get to live this out every single week, every day, these qualities that God has called us to. And I'd love for you to experience, I'd love for us as a church to go, you know what? Yeah, I'm answering the call to Jesus. I'm walking with you, Jesus. I want you to help me, teach me, guide me in this. And so let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth, God. Thank you that the book written thousands and thousands of years ago still speaks so relevant to us in 2021, God. Thank you for loving us, for guiding us, directing us, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. I pray that you just place all these qualities on our hearts of how and where we need to step into this, God. Maybe there's an area in our life that as soon as it was spoken, the Holy Spirit said, that's it. That's where you need to lean into. Wherever it may be, God, I pray that we trust you. I pray that we walk into that, God. I pray that you challenge us. Our faith may grow in that by trusting in you. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that we would be a church who would live this out. God, I pray that we would be a church that not only experiences and lives this out on Sunday morning, but also on Monday, other people begin to see you stirring in the low country, God, because you're working through your church. And maybe we go to work and we're saying, hey, I learned these qualities. God, I pray that you use us as a bridge in our community to where this message gets out into other people, God. And we can point those people right back to you. Because you taught us this, God. You lived this. You were the greatest example. Speak to our hearts, God. Fill us this morning. I pray that you sharpen us this morning so that we go back out in the world, God. We are sharpened in your name. We are sharpened by your grace. We are sharpened by your mercy, God. We're sharpened by this local body, this community together. We love you. We ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.